Welcome to the Vineyard Church Message of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information on this podcast or other resources, go to vineyardlive.us. To learn more about us, go to thevineyardchurch.us.
Okay. What up, guys? How y'all doing? How was your Thanksgiving? Good? Okay, can we give a shout out to the Sullivan, Bloomington campuses, Vineyard Live? Can we make them feel welcome? Church, one church, many locations. Well, for the last 3 weeks, we've been in a series called Grateful, an Invitation to Give Thanks. And we've been actually talking about gratitude, right? Talking a lot about gratitude. If you wasn't here the first week, we had Pastor Julie, hook us up with a great message as she explained the difference about being grateful in all circumstances, but not for all circumstances. That was awesome. The second week, we basically talked about gratitude and what it looks like because we should be the most grateful people on the planet Earth because of the promises that we have. And Pastor Hap shared a lot of great wisdom and knowledge about that. And the third week, we talked about basically being grateful in the storm. And if you were here in Urbana, Brandon brought it, didn't he? Brandon bought it. It was amazing. And if you were in Sullivan, Jim, you brought it. I heard you did your thing in Blono, Bloomington campus. I heard that Corey, she brought it as well, too. Can we give it up for the campus pastors putting in work, doing their thing out there in the campuses to get down? But today I want to talk a little bit about what gratitude looks like in the everyday. What gratitude looks like in the good times especially. You know, because I believe that when things are going good, we have a choice. Do we really make it about me and what I want? Or is it truly about what God and what others around us want? You know, are we others focused or are we God focused, in other words, you know? And then I want to also talk about what it looks like to make gratitude a lifestyle, to make gratitude a choice. Yeah, so this is the last week. I'm caboosing this thing out, and I pray that today be a rich deposit of what God is wanting to say with a lifestyle of gratitude. As I name this topic, as I name this talk, ever grateful to God, ever grateful to God. Let's pray and we will get it in. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are, Lord God, and how you are stirring hearts and minds right now, Lord. I pray that you use me, Lord God, to stir up, Lord God, every single person here, Lord God. May you use me as a whistle. I only want to make noise up here if you're blowing, if you're breathing through me, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I grew up in a military family, so I moved around a lot. And one of the places I moved around, was in Germany. I lived in Germany for a while. And while I was there in Germany, man, I fell in love with the German chocolate. I fell in love with the candy. I fell in love with the gummy bears. Oh, my goodness, the gummy bears. Fell in love with all that good stuff. And I remember going with my mom to into town. I was about first, second grade. I would go with my mom into town, and we'd pick up my brothers from this German kindergarten every day. And so we'd go there, and every time I would walk in, the Fraus there, the female teachers that worked there at the place, we call them Fraus, they would give me candy. Now, I thought that they were just hooking a brother up because of my looks, you know what I'm saying? Short, dark, and handsome, you know. But it was really because they were being nice and hospitable, you know? They were being nice and hospitable. So I'm like, okay, cool. And I would receive the candy, and I'd just get that wrapper open because I'm going in. I'm practically salivating on this mug, you know what I'm saying? I'm about to put this thing in my mouth, and my mama stopped me like, skirt, like, Clayton Jr., what do you say, boy? And I'm like, looking at her like, Ma, like, I'm thinking this, I'm just thinking this now. Like, Mom, what do you mean? What do I say? This Frau's always giving me candy. When is my thanks ever going to be implied, you know? But all she sees me is just looking up at her like, and then she got like authoritative, like more authoritative again, and changed her tones like, what do you say? And I was like, Danke, which is thank you in German, you know? And I'm like, Danke. And as soon as I said Danke, I'm going in. But that's not the point, guys. The point is that the thank you was an afterthought. I was more worried about me and my candy than I was that Frau giving it to me, than I was everyone else in the room. All that mattered was it was me and my candy. But my mom, she would always be about that. What do you say, Clay, life? What do you say? What do you say? We're going on a trip. What do you say? We're you know, someone does something nice for me. What do you say, Clay? And I believe that my mom, she kept trying to ask me that question. She kept asking, what do you say? What do you say? Because she wanted me to express my gratitude, because she knew that failing to express gratitude communicated ingratitude. Failing to express gratitude communicated ingratitude. And I believe that as parents, guys, I believe are charged, all of us, with a sacred opportunity, but especially parents, with an opportunity to train up gratitude and to impart gratitude to the next generation. Don't ever think that, you know, you asking or expecting or training up your kid, your son, your daughter to say thank you, something simple is overrated and overlooked. No. No, that is very important. Make sure you continue to train your kids, to train your sons, your daughters to express gratitude, because failing to express gratitude communicates ingratitude. And I'm sure that we all can relate to this, right? You know, you do something to somebody and you don't get the gratitude back. You don't get the thank you. You don't get, you know, you give a cupcake to somebody and they just run off. They don't say anything. You're like, give me that cupcake back. You know, sorry, give me that thing back. You know, you kind of feel a certain way. You know, you kind of get your feelings hurt a little bit. Like, man, do you even recognize that the good things that I'm doing for you, you know? I know I feel a certain way when that happens to me. And when that happens to me, I kind of think to myself, wow, do I express gratitude to others? Better yet, do I express gratitude to God? I believe God feels a certain way about it too. How often am I expressing gratitude to God? There's a passage in Luke 17 where we see so clearly that this has happened to him. And if you want to turn there, Luke 17, 11 is where I'm going to be going. But Jesus and his team, they're basically going from Galilee to Jerusalem. And in between is Galilee and Jerusalem is Samaria. And Samaria is where Samaritans live. Samaritans don't like the Jews, and the Jews don't like the Samaritans. They are just beefing. They just don't like one another. So when a Jew was in Galilee, they went around the region of Samaria to get to Jerusalem, but not Jesus. See, Jesus was different. See, Jesus wasn't about that life. Jesus was about to go through Samaria because he was going to do ministry to the Samaritans, because that's just who he is. That's what he does, okay? So he just changed the game. So he goes through the town of Samaria. And in verse 11, it says this. As Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. And as he entered a village there, 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance, crying out, Jesus! Master, have mercy on us. See, the lepers were in isolation. The lepers were all in quarantine. They basically had to stay away from civilization. So they were at a distance crying out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They knew that Jesus was the real deal. They knew that Jesus Christ of Nazareth could save them from their predicament, can heal them from their disease, and can get them to work, basically the jobs that they had to leave, to get back to the families that they had to leave, to get back into civilization as they knew it. Jesus! You can save us. You can save us. But what's crazy is that Jesus, he was known to walk right up to lepers and touch them and heal them. But this time he did something different. When he heard the lepers call out, it says in verse 14, he looked at them and said, go show yourselves to the priests. Huh? Did he say that go to the Thanksgiving feast? No, go show yourselves to the priests. Oh, he wants us to go to the priests. The priests basically were the only ones that can give you a clean bill of health if you had leprosy. They were the only ones that can analyze you, check you out, determine if you're clean. If you're clean, you can go back into civilization. If you're unclean, you go back into quarantine. Okay, so the priests were the ones to make that determination. But the crazy thing is this, is that all the lepers actually went to go see the priests. They were still leprous. They had an infectious skin condition, but they still walked in faith to go see the priest, to go get their healing. And I believe, guys, that Jesus Christ is still healing today. I believe that we can still walk in faith and receive healing today, because there is healing power here, guys, even today, just as there was in the time Jesus roamed the earth, as he walked the earth. There is still healing power today because he lives in us. He lives in us. Well, anyways, in verse 14, continuing on, it says this, and as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. In verse 15, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus. Jesus shouting, praise God! Praise God! Praise God! Praise God! He fell at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. This man was a Samaritan. He wasn't a Jew. He was a foreigner, giving thanks to Jesus. And guys, the next three questions that Jesus asks, guys, it's crazy, because I believe that if we understand the heart behind these three questions, I believe that we can receive an up-close and personal look on how God feels when people fail to express gratitude. Check out what it says in verse 17. Jesus asked, didn't I heal 10 men? What, did the power not work or something? I mean, Holy Spirit, are we not in the business of healing leprosy anymore? I mean, what's going on? Did I not heal 10 men? Where are the other nine? Has no one returned to give glory to God except for this foreigner? And I'm sure, guys, that all the other nine, the other nine that didn't come back to praise Jesus, didn't come back to express gratitude to Jesus, I can guarantee that they were happy as a lark. I guarantee that they were basically back in their homes, back in their communities, back on their jobs, and they were excited. They were ecstatic. If you asked them, hey, are you appreciative that Jesus healed you? They would have been like, yes, in a million, yes, I'm excited. But not one of them came back to express gratitude to Jesus. And I believe that we can have a tendency to live that way today. We pray and pray and pray and pray for a breakthrough. Pray, pray, pray for a miracle. Pray for a healing. Pray for that job. Pray for that grade to get on that test. Pray to get in that school. Pray for a house. Pray for a pregnancy. And we get it. Oh my goodness, we get it. Ah, what is going on? Then it's like, peace, God. I'm going to go ahead and scoot you out the driver's seat. I got this now. Why don't you go on back to the back seat? In fact, why don't you go to the trunk where I can call you the next time I break down? I got this. I believe that failure to express gratitude is communicating ingratitude. And I believe that this mourns, guys, the heart of the Father. I believe it mourns God. And I believe that we can have a tendency to do this over and over again. I know that I can, you know, feel entitled sometimes. You know, back in the day, my mom did something nice for me. My mom wanted to take me out or favor me with whatever. I thought that, you know what, I had some privileges, so it's implied that you're going to do something nice for me. So I wouldn't say anything back. I wouldn't thank her. But if she did the same thing to other people outside of my home, oh, thank you, Miss Harrington. Man, Miss Harrington, that's amazing. Thank you. But for me, it was like I had a sense of entitlement brewing. because she's my mom's. She's supposed to do that for me, right? Wrong. I could do the same thing with God. You know, I'm a son. I'm a son. You know, God, you're supposed to shine favor upon me. You're supposed to do these things for me. Nah. And even if he does, when he does, do I give thanks? I believe that there's something here where failing to express gratitude is communicating ingratitude. And I believe that this has created this mourning in the heart of God. But what about the one? What about the one, huh? He came back to express gratitude. We can learn a lot from the one. We can learn a lot from the one where he came back to express gratitude. He magnified God in the storm and in the calm. He magnified God pre-breakthrough and post-breakthrough. When he did that, when he honored God, when he praised God, when he worshiped, exalted, expressed gratitude to God, it did something. It shifted him from an all-about-me mentality to an all-about-him mentality. It shifted the perspective. Guys, and that's what gratitude does. Gratitude shifts our perspective. In Colossians 2, 6 through 7, it reads this: "And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness." Church, did you hear that? When your faith in God and your thankfulness to God are connected. They're connected. When we have faith that's strong in God, we will naturally overflow with thanksgiving to God. When we have our faith that's deep in God, grow strong in God, we will naturally grow in thankfulness to God. And we will move from a me mentality to more of a I'm grateful for what you are doing, God, in and through me. Because the more faith we have in God, guys, the more we're going to overflow in thankfulness. Guys, I believe that God is inviting us into a discipline of gratitude. I believe this whole series, he's been wooing us. He's been guiding us. He's been inviting us into a discipline of gratitude. Discipline? Clay, what do you mean discipline? I mean that he's been inviting us to a practice, a habit, that you will naturally do gratitude. And the only way we can do this is if Holy Spirit, who is in us, will you ask Holy Spirit in us to train us up so that we are becoming more and more grateful. If you ask him to steward gratitude, if you ask him to help you, to train you up in gratitude, I believe he will answer. He will meet us there each and every time. And I believe that he's asking us, inviting us, wooing us, and even provoking us into a discipline of gratitude. And when we understand this discipline, it's not, you know what, I'm gonna, you know, be grateful to God if I feel like it. You know, or if things go my way, then I'll probably give props to God. If it sounds like a good idea, I'll praise God. No, it's I will praise God. I will praise God in the storms. I will praise God in the calm. I will praise God every day. I will. I will make it a choice. And that's what it means to step into this thing as a discipline, is I will do it even if I don't feel like it. Psalms 34, it says this. Check out what homeboy David says. Check it out. It says this: I will praise the Lord at all times. I will praise the Lord at all times. It's a non-negotiable. I will constantly speak his praises. It's a non-negotiable. Don't get me hot in here. I'm getting hot now, God. Come on. Wow. Let's go. Let me calm down. When life is good, we don't just stop praising God. This is not transactional. This is relational. We don't just stop praising God. He's not our vending machine. Oh, touch here and you get that. No. I am going to praise God whether or not I sense the breakthrough coming or not. I am going to praise God whether or not he is going to, I think he's moving on my behalf or not. Because I know he's always good. I know he's always there. I know he's always by my side. And I'm going to praise God no matter what. I am ever grateful. I am ever grateful to God. That's the attitude that a discipline of gratitude will bring. We must press into a discipline of gratitude. And I know it's not Thanksgiving anymore, but man, we can still be the most gracious people on the planet. We can still press into that. I will praise. I remember living in Germany from first to ninth grade. I was there for 8 years. We had so many, you know, great things that happened out there in Germany, man. The Lord blessed us so many ways. We saw the Berlin Wall fall. We got a piece of the Berlin Wall. You know, I took a fourth grade trip to Anne Frank's house on a double-decker bus. I'm like, dang, come on. You know what I'm saying? Going to visit the cheese factories. Going to the tulip gardens. You know, fourth grade. It's crazy. Remember going to Switzerland for a youth group trip. We camped out by a waterfall. What? That was amazing. The Lord blessed us so many ways. But I remember, though, things were going good. We had it great. But then there was a spirit of ingratitude, too, that wanted to rise up. A spirit of ingratitude. I remember I started getting FOMO, fear of missing out of what was going on in the States, because people would always come and whisper to me, hey, Clay, the States is better than the States. It's better than the States. Hey, the malls are better than the States. Hey, Clay, the girls are better than the States. Hey, Clay, there's more to do in the States. TV is better in the States. You know, the commercials are even better in the States. Commercials? Okay. Hey, man, Clay, it's this and that and the third. They're all better in the States. I'm like, oh, my goodness, I'm missing out. I'm missing out on the States. And I'm like, Mom and Daddy, we need to get out of here. We need to leave Germany and go back to the States. It's boring here in Germany. I mean, the food is bad in Germany. I mean, these Germans put mayonnaise in their fries. Who does that? I'm trying to find every little thing to complain about. You know, and then eventually, you know, this me, this why am I here? Why am I here? Why whining? When you're why whining, you cannot be overflowing with thanksgiving. When it's about me, it is not about him, or anybody else around. And you know what? I can be stuck in this place today. God, why Illinois? God. Why is it so cold out here? Snow in the fall, God. Why, God? Why is the food not as good as the food in the South, God? Why are the people not as friendly as the people in the South, God? Except for y'all. Y'all good, okay? Y'all good. Y'all get a pass. Okay. Sullivan, Bloomington, Vineyard Live. People are here and check it out. Y'all good. Everybody else, so. Why can't we be near a beach, God? And they talking about the Great Lakes as a beach. Get out of here with that, God. I'm not feeling that right there one bit, okay? Baby girl, you know. Yeah. See, the why whining. When it's a why whining culture, is about me. But if it's, but Holy Spirit will change the narrative. Holy Spirit will change my narrative from a why whining culture to a what and how. What and how. God, what are you doing here in Central Illinois, and how can I partner? God, you called me here to Central Illinois. What are you doing here in Central Illinois, and how can I partner with that? What are you doing at U of I, and how can I partner? What are you doing in your job, in this job you've given me here in Central Illinois, and how can I partner? What are you doing in the schools? What are you doing in the communities? What are you doing here, there, everywhere, and how can I take part of advancing your kingdom, God? The why narrative will change to a what and how. Why? Because gratitude is the vehicle that will shift your perspective. Gratitude will shift your perspective and see more about what God is doing and what God is doing in and through me and what God is doing everywhere in the world. And you're less consumed about complaining and more consumed about raining. Woo, I just made that up on the fly. Yeah, boy, come on, let's go. Freestyling up here, bruh. Let's go. So this mentality will shift when we are able to step into a discipline of gratitude. When we step into gratitude, we will see the bigger picture of what God is doing, guys. There's a meta-narrative that God is doing, that God is orchestrating. Gratitude is the vehicle that will help us shift the perspective. I remember when a baby girl and I were in Cancun, oh man, a few weeks back, and boy, we were living up in 80-degree weather. God, I'm grateful for that. We were living it up with that hydrotherapy. You remember that, baby girl? That hydrotherapy was good, wasn't it? I'm grateful for that, God. You know, that massage, that sports massage, oh my goodness. I'm grateful. That beach. And we came from Mexico, we flew out into O'Hare. And when we got to O'Hare, we noticed eventually that the trams were busted internally, and so it couldn't take us from concourse to concourse. So we had to go outside. And so when we went outside of the building, we had to go outside to go to the shuttle, actually, and to catch the shuttle. As soon as we walked outside, Jack Frost did more than just nip me at my nose, guys. Listen. There was like a stiff uppercut to the dome piece, like, surprise, welcome back to Illinois, suckers. like, dang. But I'm grateful in all circumstances, not for all circumstances, right? Okay. So anyways, we were outside, and we were going to the shuttle. And as I'm going to the shuttle, you know, it's a crowded shuttle. This lady was kind of looking confused at the map, and she did as though she didn't know where she was going. And I thought, she needs some help. Let me go ask if she needs help. I said, ma'am, can I help you? And she's like, sprechen Sie Deutsch? Wait a minute. I speak a little bit Deutsch, and I ain't like a little bit Deutsch. I spent like most of my childhood in Germany. I think I can help her. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, okay, God, let's go. I'm like, okay, ein, drei, drei, ich, drei, vier, fünf, sie, fünf. Ja? She's like, ja. What? I'm like, no. I'm communicating in German. I'm like, baby girl, you see this? What's going on? She was sitting down. I'm like, baby girl, you see this? She was like, I'm blown away. I've never seen you speak German in my life. Like, who are you? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, 007 over here, you know what I mean? Yeah. And then I'm so happy. Like, I'm about to skip around in the shuttle, you know what I'm saying? Do a happy dance, you know? And then I go back. I'm like, okay, we're about to go. It's like, okay. See, ich, drei, sie, fünf. Ja? And she's like, yeah. I was like, auf Wiedersehen. I knew how to say bye. You know what I mean? Come on, man. Auf Wiedersehen. She's like, auf Wiedersehen. And I get off. And I'm like, all happy and everything. I'm like about to, I'm clicking my heels. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, I'm just so excited. And so I get off the shuttle. And, you know, it was a simple act of kindness. It was a simple exchange. Nothing big time major. But I felt like God speaking to me in the most profound way at that time. And I believe God said, you see there, Clay? You see there? I didn't call you to live in Germany just for the sake of living in Germany. I've called you onto something. I don't do anything, Clay, haphazardly. I don't just call you to live in certain places just to live there. I have a plan for you, and it desires me to use you to be my messenger to the world. I'm like, oh, God. Oh God, I'm so grateful to you. I'm so grateful to you. I started overflowing with thankfulness. Like, God, thank you. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to live in Germany. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to grow up in a military family. Thank you for giving me an opportunity to learn about more and more cultures, even as a youth. Thank you. And I'm so sorry that I pushed away. How to learn the German language, and I pushed away learning all these languages, because if you've called me to be a messenger to the world, I need to do a lot better than just grunting my way through these foreign languages. So God, would you just supernaturally endow me with, you know, the grace to learn these languages without Rosetta Stone? I mean, come on. I'm a living stone, right, God? Come on. But I'm grateful, Lord. Take a step back. Gratitude encourages us to take a step back and stop being so consumed with ourselves. Stop being so consumed with the why, me. I. This entitlement stuff that just has to go. Because it clouds us and it stops us from accessing all that God wants you to access. Because if we have died, and it's not we who live, but Jesus Christ who lives in me, then it's not the gospel of selfishness, it's the gospel of selflessness. It's not the gospel of selfishness, it's the gospel of selflessness, and gratitude is the vehicle that will help us align with the heavens. It will help us align to what God is seeing, what God is doing, and it will help us align to the greater story of how God chooses to use each and every one of you, each and every one of us in his story to advance the kingdom of God. Come on. Come on. Let's go. So I believe this is my action step. I'm running out of time. Ask Holy Spirit daily to show you new ways to steward gratitude. Ask Holy Spirit to show you new ways to steward gratitude. And that can be writing out a list of 10 things you're grateful for. It can be that you are, every time you see a police officer, you're going to express gratitude out loud to them. It can be that you want to express gratitude out loud to your spouse. Come on, men, we can do that. Let's go. We can do it out loud. We can probably start communicating and expressing gratitude to our kids, to our parents, college students. You probably need to call your parents a little more often. Let's go. They love to hear from you. You know, probably could express gratitude to your boyfriend, your girlfriend, the list goes on. I love to express gratitude to God out loud. God, I'm so thankful for this family, Lord. I'm so thankful for this church. I'm thankful for each and every person sitting in these seats that I can call family, Lord. I am thankful for this body with opportunities that we have, this house for opportunities we have to advance the kingdom of God, Lord God. I am so thankful, Father, for being here. I'm thankful for what you're doing here. I'm thankful for you blessing me with a beautiful wife that's given me two sets of beautiful twins. I'm so thankful for that, Lord. I'm thankful, Father God, that the love you have for me will never wane, will never shift, will never fade, Lord God, that I am the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Because you love me that way. You love, I never have to prove myself to you because I'm forever seated at the table. I'm forever there at the table. Thank you, God. And I thank you, Father, for your word. I thank you, Father, for your word always being true, never returning void. And I'm thankful for 2 Colossians 2:6. I'm thankful, 2:7, I'm thankful that it says, let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness. Can we stand to our feet, please? Can we stand to our feet, please? Let's pray. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that there be an insanely rich deposit, Lord, for the spirit of gratitude, for the discipline of gratitude to rise up, Lord, in every man, woman, and child here today, so that it shifts something in their heart. It shifts something in their eyes, Lord God, so that they can see more of what you are doing and more of what you are doing in the world around them. Speak to us, Lord. May there be such an indelible impression, Lord God, that you're making right now, Lord God, that it bear fruit that remain in a way that we can be the most gracious people on this planet, Lord God, because we're called to be a peculiar people and we're called to be a people for your glory. So teach us, Lord God, out of all this time we've been talking about gratitude, may it be that we receive gratitude and can be a people of gratitude, ever grateful to you, ever grateful to God, ever grateful to what you're doing in and through us, ever grateful to what you're doing in and through others. In Jesus' name we pray, and the church said amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the message today. To experience more powerful messages, go to vineyardlive.us or join our Vineyard Live Plus community to view conferences, trainings, and special teachings.